My name is Steffi, and I'm an alcoholic. Hello, everyone. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA, and since most important aspect of AA recovery is one of alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons have the lists of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that you learn here. What you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and your understanding. Anna will read the preamble.
I'm Anna, I'm an alcoholic. Oh, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Joel will read the steps.
Hi, I'm Joel. I'm an alcoholic. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Gina will read the traditions.
Hi, my name's Gina. I'm an alcoholic. Hi. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Michael B.
Hi, everyone. My name is Michael B. I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to say I'm nervous, but that would be a lie. I'd like to tell you I thought a lot about what I was going to say, but that would also be a lie. I couldn't stop thinking about myself really long enough to do any of those things. And that's really actually important. I'm like so self-centered that I don't really have to worry about thinking about what you think about. You know, I was tortured by what you thought about for most of my life. And, in AA, I've learned that there's really only two people I have to answer to, and that is my higher power and my sponsor, really. And then thereafter, I get to think about what I think about a little bit. Now, suffice it to say, I qualify to be here. I had my first, my fifth, my 10th, my 15th, my 16th, my 17th drunk car accident before my 18th birthday, an ulcer that I still have to this day caused by vodka. Shortly after I turned 19, it was bleeding, so I had to have it sometime before that, and bleeding a lot. I went through 4 colleges and had to restart things a lot because I would get kind of bored, you know, or just forget that I was doing something like going to college and stop going. I would have to start over. And I did a lot of things like geographics and all of these things. But, what got me here was I fell in love with someone who needed to be here, and I wanted to know what they had to do. So I was so moved by this person and so in love with this person that I would do anything, including lie. And I came to an AA meeting and I lied. And I said, my name's Michael, I'm an alcoholic. And I felt terrible about it because it just wasn't true. You know, I was lying. And what happened was I kept coming. And eventually I started actually identifying myself as an alcoholic. And it was a very slow process. And the most important thing about that was I became open to this process. And the way I became open was I started to pray. And, setting that aside, that gives you a little background of, in essence, successful AA. You start praying, and then you become open to the solution of AA. And then with all the earnestness and desperation that, you know, as if everything depended on it, you do what is suggested. You do what is suggested. And I'm not that good at it. Like I said, I'm still, you know, incredibly self-centered. And I really only think about what's in front of me, which is a good thing. But at the same exact time, I allow my self-centeredness to be interrupted all the time to do something called service. All the time, I allow it to be interrupted. And what I've discovered is as long as I interrupt my self-centeredness with service, I get freedom from the bondage of myself. Does that make sense? Very easy, an incredibly easy thing. Now, anyone that I sponsor will tell you that they know that I love them, and I've said I loved you to this audience before, and I want to talk a little bit about that because one of the founders of AA, Dr. Bob, said that AA is all about love and service. He said it sums up into those two words, and he warned us not to, you know, mess it up with Freudian niceties and all of these other things, meaning not to think about it too much or figure ourselves out too much, to just love and then serve. And I learned how to love from my second sponsor or third sponsor, depending how you count them, actually, would be Jimmy N was his name. And one day in a phone call, as he hung up the phone, he said, "Love you, kiddo." And he hung up the phone. And I had this repulsive feeling of throwing up. Absolutely disgusted. And utterly uncomfortable. And actually didn't want to talk to him again after that because it was that uncomfortable. I mean, what is this? By the way, for those that don't know, Jimmy Noon is like about 6'5", totally looks like Sinbad, but white. Exactly, actually, I think you could put them next to each other and just take the pigment away and they'd look exactly the same. So, and he's a straight male. So, you know, I am not. And it was a very odd experience to have this man say this to me. And I remember when I had that feeling, I thought to myself, well, God, he can't mean that, you know. And he did it again and again and again, and I didn't really become more comfortable with it. What I tried and started to happen was I became curious as to why I was so uncomfortable with it. And what I realized with this little sober time is that I was totally out of touch with my feelings. I hadn't felt love. I didn't understand. I grew up in the 80s and then like through the 90s was just totally drunk. I didn't understand why people like Celine Dion or Mariah Carey or any of these people, because they sung love. I had no identification. If you couldn't dance to it or do a narcotic to it or get drunk to it, what was the point? You know what I mean? If you weren't going to sit around and get wasted to it or dance, I didn't understand why you bothered having the radio on. And the point in all that is, you know, it was through getting sober that I began to actually learn how to redo all these things. And not even, I say learn how to redo because I'm sure as a kid, I'm sure before alcoholism had its total grip on me, that I was capable of feeling and experiencing love, of being part of the world at whole. But my alcoholism, which by the way, Alcoholics Anonymous describes as a spiritual malady that manifests itself with two symptoms, a compulsion to drink and a mental obsession to drink, that this spiritual condition that I suffered from separated me from everything and everyone and every real emotional experience. And it made life not worth living, you see. Now, as a result of the step work that I've done, and as a result of being open to love in this room and like not yelling at Jimmy or calling him back after he said that, you know, letting him continue to be my sponsor in spite of the fact that he had said such a terrible thing, I actually began to do and have the most incredible healing experience that an alcoholic can possibly have, which is over time, I developed a relationship with another alcoholic that led me to build a deeper relationship with this higher power that I'd come to understand and learn through that person. And then on my own, gradually over time, began to develop my own relationship with this God that I rely on now in every moment of my being, every moment of my life experience. And whenever I'm uncomfortable today, it's because I've put up a separation between me and this higher power. That is the only source of discomfort in my life. It's not what you think. It's not what people in the world think. It's not because of what's happening in my life. Because believe me, I have lost incredible things in the last, especially the last 3 years of my sobriety. None of the outside things are gone exactly the way I would have liked for them to. But my experience of my life has been incredible. Has been incredible. I have become a grateful human being who appreciates the gifts I'm given and takes every incident in his life as nothing more than an experience, and if it has to happen to somebody, it might as well be happening to me, you know? Why should I want my tragedies to be suffered by anyone else? You know, it is through this experience of living, and through this experience of living with my higher power on a daily basis, moment to moment, that I have found it unnecessary to numb myself out or satisfy that urge that sometimes comes for a drink. Does that make sense? And I often say, and if you haven't heard before, I often give an analogy to beginners when they are all upset. I say, put whatever it is on a serenity scale. Put your peace of mind next to whatever it is that you're deciding you don't want it for. You know, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the I don't have this, the my life is not where I want it to be. Put it on a serenity scale. Is that all that that peace of mind and that joy that I'm describing to you as a daily experience for me is worth to you? And if it seems like it is, meaning, you know what, it is, I'm willing to be miserable, it's because you really haven't experienced what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, do that work. Do that work that is suggested. Surrender to this idea that there is a solution in the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous that can give you something that you don't even understand is available yet. And it is an absolute joy for living, a peace of mind as you walk through the day that is utterly quiet. You know, I walk down the street, I'm walking down the street. I'm taking a shower, I'm only taking a shower. That's why in the shower, I went home to shower today. I thought about showering. It was funny, I was in the middle of the shower, I'm like, I'm thinking about myself, I'm thinking, don't you think you should be thinking of something creative to say? And the fact is, no, you know. When I'm here, I'll do what I'm supposed to do right here, which is talk to you a little bit about my experience getting sober. When I'm in the shower, I take a shower. And, you know, if there is any, you know, this is a deadly earnest thing. Normal people don't have to have that relationship with that higher power that we have to have because they don't suffer from the mental obsession that says drink, 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 coupled with the physical compulsion that when they drink, they will drink till they destroy themselves or whatever is around them. We have no option. And I'm telling you, we're the luckiest people on the planet because we get to experience life with this higher power. Normal people don't have to do that the way we do. And it is the way you get all of these things that I described. I wish you all a very slow recovery. Take your time, become willing, little by slowly, to give more of yourself. And over time, I am certain you'll be able to stand here and tell an audience with the exact same amount of earnestness and truth that I'm telling you, that that will be your experience. It is Betty Crocker for Drunks, the program. Betty Crocker for Drunks. It always works. Thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Ashley.
Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 28th, 2007. My home group is the Atlantic Group. My sponsor is Kate M., and I am currently working on step 9. Unlike Michael, I'm incredibly nervous right now. People told me they were just, you know, like giving me advice on, you know, coming up here, and they were just like, talk to the newcomer, talk to the person with one day. And, you know, I remember, you know, I started counting days here. I think I came here when I had 3 days, and it's, you know, it's scary, and it's especially a meeting like this, it's really, really difficult. And it's like, I just have to say, like, I stuck around. It got really hard. Like, at first it got great, then it got hard, then it got, you know, like, it's up and down and up and down. And my life today from when I came in is completely, completely different. It's not like I, you know, I exist and I go to a meeting every, like, I have a sober life, and I work the program in a way that works for me. And, you know, my sponsor always tells me it's not a program of rigidity. People, you know, can work it however they want to, but I've found a way to work it that works for me. So, I grew up in Queens. Alcoholism runs in my family. I have, you know, a sober cousin, and my grandfather was an alcoholic, and, you know, there are a lot of other people in my family who could probably use a meeting. But, when I was little, my first memory of alcohol is, you know, we had this bar in my basement, and it was like a finished basement, and, you know, we had, my brother and I were really little, like I was 5, and we had toys and all this stuff, but like every day we would go and play at this bar. We would like pretend we were bartenders, like when I was like 5 years old, and that was my first experience with alcohol. And I tried to always be a good kid. Like, I was an overachiever in school. I tried to be a good daughter, but like this disease caught up with me. And when I was like 11 years old, I couldn't stop my alcoholic thinking. When I hear that, you know, that feeling that people say they never felt a part of, I completely, completely identify with that. I always felt like I was, you know, on the outside looking in. And I was an overachiever in school, and I did great, and, you know, everybody thought I was this, you know, really good kid, but, like, inside, I had all of these insane thoughts. I would rage on my friends. I had thoughts of suicide at a very, very young age, and, you know, something was always off with me. I was always a little bit troubled, and, when I was 14, my brother got hurt really, really badly in a drunken fight outside of a bar. And it was kind of my opportunity to just kind of like go crazy. And I went from, you know, drinking in the park with my friends to like going out to the city by myself, blacking out, waking up in strange places, and just getting into a lot of trouble. And, high school was hard. I drank a lot in high school, and, you know, college, the same thing. And I kind of fell like into a group of friends in college, and they were, they drank a lot and partied a lot. And, you know, there was this one kid who, like, I just never wanted to be friends with him because he was so much, you know, worse than I was, and I couldn't believe the things that he did and how much he drank. And we happened to move, you know, down the block from each other, almost like to the week that, like, the week I moved in, I think, was the week that he started to get sober. And he started to take me to meetings with him. And you know, I would go to open meetings with him, and I would hold his hand. I'm like, you're going to be okay. It's good. You know, like, and I really genuinely thought that I was there just for support. And, you know, and I started, you know, going to meet, and I would love meetings. And like, I love the way I felt when I left them. I felt great. But like, I was just like, I don't, but like, I just didn't have, like, I just, like, he, like, him and I would sit on the phone and I'd be like, I know there's something wrong with me, but like, I don't drink as much as you do. He's like, I know, I like, what could it be? Like, are you, like, and I had gone to a therapist. There was, you know, I just couldn't imagine, like, I can go, like, long periods of time without drinking. I wasn't drinking 24/7. I wasn't, you know, waking up and taking a drink. I never got the shakes. Like, I never drove in a blackout. I don't even think I drove drunk. Like, a lot of those things, you know, have yet to happen to me. And you know, I kind of just floated like in and out of the fellowship and hung out with sober people, never knowing that I had a problem. And when I graduated college, I got a really good job in my field of choice, which was journalism. And like, I woke up one day and I just decided to become a cocktail waitress. I was like, I have to become a cocktail waitress. And I you know, I got a job at this place that, and I was like, I was like, oh, you know, just on the weekends, like one shift, you know, I need the extra money, even though I had no expenses. And I started working there, and, you know, 5 months later, I was in my boss's office at my day job, and I was like, you know, I have this wonderful opportunity to cocktail full time. I'm going to have to, you know, cut down shifts. And it's just like that, this was like the beginning of the end for me. And, you know, luckily, I was fired from that job, and you know, and I got into a relationship. It, you know, I was drinking all the time. You know, this poor guy, it was like the millionth time I had ruined a relationship because of my drinking. And you know, I called my friend who was sober. He's still sober today and was sober at that point. And I was like, you know, I think I need help. He's like, you know, call Kate and who's my sponsor today and call me back. And I was like, it's 9:30 in the morning. Like, she's not gonna be like, I was completely like lived in this like altered world. Like, I just had no sense of reality. And you know, that was my first day. Like, that was day one. And it's been, like I said in the beginning, it has been, like, I want to say amazing. Like, I'm not, like, every day jumping for joy that I have to come to meetings. But, I mean, it's, like, my life is a lot easier than it was. You know, I have a program today. I pray. Because, like, for me, prayer is the most important. Like, because, you know, like, our big book, it's basically, after the doctor's opinion, it's, like, the spiritual solution. Like, that's what it is. And you don't have to believe in God. You, like, make your higher power whatever you want it to be. Like, I know atheists in the program and agnostics, like, and they, you know, they can still find something bigger than their problems. And like, the thing that it comes down to is when I'm sitting in front of a drink and I can't reach my sponsor, I can't reach people on the phone, the only thing that's going to save me in that moment is my higher power. That's it. So I, you know, I really have to work on that relationship. So, you know, I pray in the morning. Like, I don't want to pray every morning. You know, I'm busy. I want to go to work, you know, and I just, like, that's the I really feel taken care of. And, you know, I've heard before, like, AA can give us everything except the willingness. And, like, there are people who, like, I just want them to get it. I want to, like, show them how great it is. But if you don't want it, like, you have to want it. Like, it's not going to happen unless you really want to get sober. And I don't know where this comes from. Like, I can't believe I'm sober today. If somebody would have told me 2 years ago that I would be sober, it's like, what are you talking? Like, what I have is a gift. Like, it's not, I'm not doing any of this by myself. And you know, like, I'm happy today. Like, I'm not happy, like I said, 24/7, but my life is much easier than it was, you know, when I was drinking, when I was trying to run the show. And, you know, like, today I have, like, before I came in, like, I didn't have any friends. Like, I was petrified of people. And, like, today I can go up to a newcomer, shake someone's hand, which is, like, unheard of. I'm friends with neighbors on my floor, which is, I used to, like, wait till people, like, left there. If I would hear someone coming out of the apartment, I would, like, hide and go back into my apartment. And I have friends today. Like, I joined a kickball team at my job, which is, like, the craziest. Like, I play kickball with my coworkers, which I know it sounds like so simple, but it's like something I never, like, I, like, the theme of my life is doing things I used to make fun of, you know, like, that's like my new, like, that's the new, that's like my new, like, attitude to life. I went on a sober vacation to Sober Club Med, and I had the time of my, like, it was the like the best trip I've ever been on, because I wasn't stuck in fear. And it's just like, I don't know where I get the willingness to call my sponsor every day, to like read the big book, to work the steps. But today I have it. And, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to drink again. I can go to have a drink tomorrow night. Like, I'm completely, completely powerless over alcohol. Like, I have no control when I'm around it. So, you know, it's a daily reprieve. And, like, I can be up here and be like, oh, I'm sharing the solution. I got this. I don't got anything. Like, I can pick up a drink tomorrow if I don't continue the daily reprieve and continue, you know, working on my spiritual maintenance. So thank you very much.